Just over a minute into her inaugural address in May, and Mayor Lori Lightfoot was already talking about the need for equity in Chicago.
We're shaping the future leaders of our city. And when we put equity first in our education system, when we make a good on the promise that every kid matters, it will instill within our children the values we seek to foster as an entire city.
Lightfoot said equity should be applied to every facet of policy. And a few days before she gave that speech, she announced something new was coming. The Office of Equity and Racial Justice, a new cabinet-level position, Chief Equity Officer. Attorney Candace Moore has been in that role for a month, and she joins us now. Welcome to The Morning Shift.
Thank you. Thank you. Good to be with you.
So many companies and in some cities have chief diversity officers who are charged with increasing the diversity of staff. A chief equity officer is something else entirely. You're focused on examining systemic racism that exists in Chicago and figuring out policies to help correct those racial disparities. Walk us through a little bit of what you've been doing this first month.
Yeah, so thank you for having me here. I think you're right to sort of set out the distinction between the diversity officers and equity officers. I sort of think about diversity officers as really addressing some of the personnel, sort of who's in the institution, where are they situated, how are they getting promoted. But equity officers, which there are these positions that are cropping up around the country in different cities, really look at the outcomes and the practices and the services of different departments within a city to really examine what ways are we contributing to the inequity that continues to exist? Which ways are we perpetuating that? And then what are we going to do about it? How are we going to look at our services? How are we going to look at our practices and actually make the kinds of changes that will work to both reduce those disparities but really address historical wrongs and harms that have happened in communities?
What are the first steps you have to take to begin to assess where those inequities exist and the systems that support those inequities?
Yeah, so in a lot of ways, my first step is understanding, building understanding, researching, understanding how the departments work, what's going on. There is some good work really happening in some of the departments, and so being able to understand where they started, what their journey looked like. But a big part of this work initially is about actually just normalizing the conversation around race. Mm-hmm. It's a really difficult conversation, and that's not just true for government, that's true for all of society. A lot of harm has happened when we talk about race, and many people are really nervous to have the conversation, nervous to focus on the harms that have happened. So actually normalizing that in a way in which we can both start talking about it, but then start thinking and working towards solutions that are going to have different outcomes.
And is normalizing that conversation something you're focused on in City Hall, or is it about expanding that conversation to the rest of the city?
Yeah, it's sort of a both and. It's certainly about City Hall. It's certainly about supporting city employees with the language, with the frameworks to understand how to engage in these conversations. But it's not just the responsibility of City Hall. We also have to have that conversation in our communities. And how are we going to engage together around what needs to happen? So actually thinking about what our community engagement looks like. How do we have that, what can be a very difficult conversation with communities that have been impacted? What are the tools we can use? How are we going to think about that?
So your role as Chief Equity Officer is new. The Office of Equity and Racial Justice is also new. How is that office structured? How many staff do you oversee? And how is your work starting to be implemented?
Yeah, so a month in, we are really at the beginning and building it out. So when you look across the country, which is a lot of what I've been doing so far, when you look at across the country, the offices, the staff is usually not huge. Some caveats is that Chicago really represents one of the largest jurisdictions to take on this work. So there's a question mark about how many staff we really need to do this work. But there's a danger in believing that the office is where you go to get racial equity work done. It really is about supporting our departments and our existing work to get the work done. And so in that way, when you look at work teams and leadership teams around racial equity, they utilize the existing infrastructure, the existing employees, because the work is about infusing this work into the existing work that the city is engaged in.
I'm curious, when you're talking about equity, what does success look like? How do you measure that?
Yeah, that's a really important question and a somewhat difficult one, quite honestly, to answer. The way I conceptualize equity is really paying attention to not just the outcomes, not just that we reduce the disparities, but what is our process to get there? Who are we engaging? How are we sharing our decision making with communities, especially those who have been most impacted, to ensure that they have what they need to be successful? And so the measurement is, yes, the outcomes. Are we closing gaps? Are we getting more services to communities that have been historically disconnected? But also, how are we doing the work? Do we have more authentic partnerships? Are we thinking about who is engaging with us as we make these decisions? That's also a measure.
You said you've been looking to other cities to see how they're implementing this work in policymaking. What are you learning from other cities that we can use here in Chicago?
One big lesson is that this work is long and it is slow, and there are some things you can do right away, but much of the work that actually stands a chance to make a big difference is the long haul. It's the long game. It's also really important to be communicating that to communities consistently and engaging them around the progress. So the city of Austin does a really good job of actually having a publicly available dashboard that tracks how many folks are getting trained, what the needs assessments are that different departments are doing, what are their goals and their strategies, how much have they implemented so far. And I just think that's a really important tool to keep the public aware of what's going on and the progress that's being made. But you can start to feel it in some ways immediately when you go to a listening session or you go to a town hall, and it starts with, we're looking for help on solving this problem. So I think those are some of the early tells of this work actually starting to change things.
We're talking to Candace Moore, Chief Equity Officer in the Lightfoot Administration, and she's talking about her work heading up the new Office of Equity and Racial Justice in the Lightfoot Administration. Well, yesterday on the show, we spoke with Tamar Manasseh, the founder of MASC, that's Mothers Against Senseless Killings, the anti-violence organization in Englewood. Two mothers who volunteered with that group were shot and killed on the corner they'd been helping to protect for years. That happened on Friday. And I just want us to listen to a little of what she had to say.
We have not been able to speak with anyone who makes any decisions about actual, law enforcement in this city. We have ideas, but they didn't want to hear them. And now, ignoring people who are out on the street every day, this is what it got us. Maybe now they'll listen. Maybe now they'll start working with us before more children have to lose their mothers.
I should say a little later, Tamar said she thought Mayor Lightfoot was taking some positive steps since she took office. But what she's talking about there is this feeling of being shut out of discussions about how to deal with gun violence and other issues in our neighborhoods. What is the practical work of bringing people like Tamar and other people who are working in their communities to the table?
Yeah, so one of the things that I think about is when you're actually trying to solve for some of these challenges, there's a tension in wanting to engage community because you don't have all the answers yet. But it is at that precise moment that it's really important to start doing listening sessions, listening to what people say, what went wrong. And I think there's some really great examples of what that work can look like. But when there are moments of crisis, we get really nervous about doing that. And yet it's the exact work we need to be doing.
What's that nervousness you describe?
The nervousness of being perfect, of getting it right, of making mistakes, of being wrong, especially when you're dealing with situations where really harmful, tragic things have happened. There is a fear, I think, that exists for everyone, for the community, for the government employee who's sort of tasked with that area of work. And so this pressure of, I have to have the right answer. That's what folks are expecting me to have. But the right answer is actually locked up in the experience of what people had, and many, many sources of information that are going to be absolutely important to coming up with the right answers exist in the experiences of the people who have been directly impacted by this. And so how do you set up the conditions so that that can happen? I feel like that is the question that I am sort of challenged to address, to support, and to really think about what do we as a city need to do to be better at this?
And what's your early thinking on what that looks like?
Yeah, so I'm hesitant in the sense of it's not just go, right? Like, here is a practice, you should just engage. It actually has to start with some fundamental understanding of what are some of our challenges. And for some folks, you know, they'll roll their eyes a little bit when I say it's training work and it's, you know, bringing folks in to have these kinds of conversations and get strong. But that's absolutely what we're talking about. We are talking about needing to support people with the conversation, really being able to sort of air some of these things out. So practically, there's training work to do. Practically, there are us exploring different models of how we think about community engagement. There are different ways we might engage community for different issues. It may not make sense to have a town hall. We might want to do a listening session because what we really need to do is just actually listen to what folks are saying. So really thinking about this as an art. This is an art, and this is a science that can allow us to tap into the promise of different kinds of outcomes, improved outcomes for our city.
When you think about some of the biggest challenges the city is facing right now and how they intersect with systemic racism, what are those issues you feel need to be tackled right away?
Yeah, so one of the things I've been telling folks is that I sit in a tension around urgency and also sort of the long-term work that needs to happen for this work to be sustainable. I come from a background around education, and so many folks say, Candace, are you working on education right out? But one of the biggest things that I saw in education is that many of the challenges that we were experiencing in education came from issues we were having in housing, came from issues we were having in public safety, came from issues that we're having around economics. And so in order to even support the work that needs to happen on education, we actually have to expand our scope. And I think that's what we have the opportunity to do at the city, is to really think. Some of the first things I'm thinking about is really beginning to understand how these things are connected and what is the support and what is what are the initial conversations that we need to be having that people actually begin to fundamentally understand how some of these things are connected, because that will impact how they show up in practice, right? It will impact the very questions that they ask when they're looking at addressing something. There are tools like the racial equity impact assessment that ask, what are the benefits and burdens of a policy that we're going to put on? How often do we ask that? You know, we're trying to solve for something. How often are we asking that, even if we think this is a great idea, what might be some unintentional consequences that we haven't even addressed yet? And our ability to put that on the table and then actually come up with strategies to either mitigate or change our policy is huge before we actually implement it.
We talked a lot about bringing people to the table, having listening sessions, talking to people. But then there's also this role that data can play in this work. How do you plan to integrate that?
Yeah, so when I look at different cities, I think they've done really interesting things around data, around really tracking the data that's coming out of departments, really sort of measuring and asking the important questions of where do our services go? How efficient are we at them? Who is getting the benefit from our services and practices? And that will tell a lot of the story. It'll give us a foundation to understand many of our challenges. But we can't forget that people are attached to that data. So in my previous work, we've always said when we think about data, we need to talk about numbers and narrative. Data tells us many things, but the stories and the experiences of people also tell us really important things and reaches places sometimes that that data doesn't go.
You're a lawyer by training. Most recently, you were senior staff attorney for the Education Equity Project at Chicago Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights. You've also been an advisor to Chicago United for Equity, which works to overturn racial inequality in the city. Why has this become such an important issue for you in your work?
Yeah, I mean, I became a lawyer to become an advocate, to become to think about the ways in which I could help communities that I cared about, which is whether it was the city of Chicago. I'm originally from the city of Aurora, which is a community I care about. How do I help my community make sure that people have the voice and the power to make decisions that impact their own lives? When I think about my experience in Aurora, government was really close up for us, right? We knew people in City Hall, like they were our neighbors. We went to church with them. They, you know, government felt very proximate. I think sometimes in big cities, government, we don't feel that same way about our government. It doesn't feel as proximate. We don't feel like we have the right. We don't feel entitled to make our voices heard. And so even as an advocate, it was about supporting communities in addressing some of the issues that impacted their children, that impacted their future, and being able to advocate for really important policies and practices that would open up opportunities and access in ways in which it wasn't being addressed. As I step into government, I think I still have that responsibility. But the work is to actually work with government to open itself up to communities a bit more, be more responsive. I come to this work with a fundamental belief that we can do this. But then the question becomes, how are we going to get it done? What are the supports that we need? What is the work? What are the tools? What are the practices? What are the trainings? And that's what I really see a lot of my work centered around.
As you said, this is really about long-term work, and we can see in government at every level, a new administration can mean an ushering out of what is now the old and in with the new. How are you thinking about really integrating this work so that it becomes a permanent part of city government?
I think a key thing there is to invest in the infrastructure that is government, to think about our departments as it is your responsibility to do this work. We are going to support you in owning that responsibility, building up your capacity to do this work. But this isn't about just pushing out work in one office. It is about helping every single department of our city get there. And I think that's what makes it long term. We will always have a Department of Transportation. We will always have a Department of Water. We will always have, you know, Chicago Public Schools. We have a responsibility to support those departments to do this work that's really important, and really think about the practices, not just the people. It is important to have the right people, but there are practices that move and create the exact outputs that we see right now, regardless of who is there. And that's the work that we have to look at. What are the policies and practices that create these conditions?
That's Candace Moore, Chief Equity Officer in the Lightfoot Administration. Candace, thanks for speaking with us.
Thank you for having me.